bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Reiner, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. I want to begin today's program by acknowledging our thankfulness to those who are regular listeners and supporters of this radio ministry. Your generous prayer and financial support, coupled together with the grace and mercy of God, continue to make this outreach ministry a reality. And so again, we thank you. We also want to acknowledge our appreciation to those who have taken the time to write us as first-time listeners. We have received letters and emails from people both in the United States and from different parts of the world. It's very exciting and also quite humbling to know that God is actually using us to reach people all over the world with sound biblical teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please continue to pray for us as we attempt to continue to bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world. Today, we're going to be examining three essential qualities that are needed when facing trials or temptations. First of all, we are to be quick to hear. Secondly, we are to be slow to speak. And then finally, we are to be slow to anger. So to learn more about this, we invite you to join with us as we study from James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20.
This evening, I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of James. And there I'd like to read from the first chapter, verses 19 and 20. In the past, I have mentioned that James is the most practical book that we have in the New Testament regarding Christian living. In other words, if you want to know what a Christian looks like, not so much from a theological perspective, but from a practical perspective, then all you have to do is pick up this letter and read what James has to say. In fact, sometimes I find it rather difficult, to say the least, to truly grasp what James writes because it seems to be so foreign to many of us in terms of what we portray a Christian to be in our own contemporary culture. It seems to be worlds apart from how we envision a Christian today in terms of what James writes here in this letter. Now, in the first portion of this chapter, James reminds us of the need for wisdom when we find ourselves in the midst of various types of trials and temptations that we all face in life. James also reminds us of the fact that if we ask in faith, that God has promised to give us the needed wisdom. And here, let me reiterate this basic thought. James is not talking about an intuitive wisdom that comes apart from the ministry of the Word. Rather, he is speaking of a wisdom that comes from one having his mind transformed by the truth of God's Word. In other words, the Spirit will enlighten one's mind to those things that have been given in the Scriptures and will give them or allow them to recall what they need to face any type of situation. So in that, if you are in the Word and if you ask in faith, God has promised to call to your attention what you need to face that trial or that temptation. Now, in this particular section that we're going to be looking at this evening, James begins to elaborate somewhat on the relationship that exists between God's Word and that of our character, or perhaps even our perspective of how we see things in relationship to what we experience when we face trials and temptations. Because when trials come, and they will come, our natural tendency in terms of response is often radically contradictory to what is portrayed in verses 19 and 20. So this evening, I want us to focus our thoughts on three essential qualities that are needed when facing trials. For example, whenever we face trials, James teaches us that we are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. With those thoughts in mind, read with me from James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. In verse 20, James writes, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So whenever you and I begin to face any type of trial or temptation, the first thing that James draws our attention to is the fact that we need to be swift to hear. Now, let me stop and ask you a very serious question. Can you hear without really hearing? Can you hear something without truly listening or understand what's going on? Now, in light of this, James tells us to be swift or to be quick. Let that be your first initial response, and that is to hear. Now, in terms of context, the emphasis appears to be on the Word of God. And it may include counsel, righteous counsel, that comes from the Word of God. But sometimes in the midst of the trials that we are facing, we often have the attitude that the last thing that we really want to hear is counsel or confrontation that comes from the Word of God. Instead of wanting to listen to what God has to say, our response is that we often want to hear those things, first of all, that help confirm our present attitude of anger or frustration. For example, whenever you find yourselves facing a difficult circumstance, perhaps specifically with someone else, don't you like to align yourself with others who affirm to you that you have a right to be angry at that person? Don't we like to have company that will just encourage our present state of anger and frustration? After all, how many of us like to surround ourselves by those who confront us and say, "No, you have no right with that type of ungodly response"? Well, hello, not very often. We like that affirmation that our ungodliness is absolutely justified. And sometimes we like to hear those things that help justify our action or our response to the present situation. In other words, whatever we do, we like that affirmation that it is perfectly legitimate to think like that or to respond like that. Now again, the emphasis is on the Word of God. One notation and one particular resource, speaking of this person who has the ability to be swift to hear, that it is this person who listens intently to the Word of truth who progresses in godliness. Now let me say that again. It is this kind of person who can be swift to hear the counsel of God's Word instead of acting out of anger and frustration. It is this kind of person that has the ability to progress in godliness. Now, I want you to think just for a moment about that and let that sort of seep into your minds. Because just the opposite is equally true. If we are not swift to hear, then we open ourselves up to be exposed to or a party of ungodliness. That is, acting in an ungodlike way. I guess at this point, just simply say that that happens all too often to those who call themselves Christians. And by the way, I've said this numerous times, one of the greatest tragedies in the body of Christ today is that it is growing ever more difficult to distinguish those who call themselves Christians from those who are not, not always by what we profess, but more to the point by the way that we live and respond. So in this, the injunction is to be swift to hear. Be swift to hear what God is saying to you. What does God want me to do in light of this present situation? Regardless of how tempting the situation may be or how severe the trial is, instead of being quick to just discount the Word of God, how can I come to a point of listening to what God has to say? Well, a part of that is that it just doesn't come easy. It just doesn't happen. It marks those who have made a commitment to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. Because the simple truth is that if you are not in the Word and the Word of God is not transforming or influencing your mind and how you think, well, guess what? Something else is. And that is the world around us. What we listen to in the songs that we hear or the programs that we watch on television or perhaps even some types of the material that we read. Now, all of this, for the most part, is anti-God. And it is teaching us to respond in a completely different way than what the Word of God teaches us. You see, that's one of the radical things about Christianity, is that it is out of step with the world. And we need to understand that as Christians, we are not part of this fallen world system. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And so our minds are not to be shaped by the world around us, but it is to be shaped and influenced by the teaching of Scripture. I remember one time years ago in the pastorate in Florida, a particular sermon that I had preached, I emphasized the fact that Christians should be in the Word of God daily. I went and visited a couple, and they brought that to my attention. And they were almost flabbergasted to think that we have to read the Bible every day. I mean, you actually think that we should spend time reading and studying the Word of God every day? Now, what was interesting is that while I was there, a soap opera was on, and not once did they turn it down or turn the TV off. Now, they could sit there and watch that garbage every single day with no problem whatsoever. And that's probably one of the reasons why they were sort of like they were. And I'll just leave it at that. But they could not fathom the idea of being in the Word. So if you're going to be in the Word, then you will be in a position, more often than not, to be swift to hear what God has to say, God requires of us, or how we should respond in a time of temptation or trial. One of the great stories that I've heard along these lines was about an elderly couple. And the husband of this couple was growing extremely concerned about his wife's hearing. Her hearing loss seemed to be at an accelerated rate. And yet he could not quite convince her that she had a problem, and it was concerning him because of their age, and especially if a medical emergency were to come up. So he came up with an idea to demonstrate without a shadow of a doubt that she had a hearing problem. She was quietly crocheting in the room all the way across, and he was at the other side. In a very average tone of voice, he says, "Honey, can you hear me?" And just as he thought, no response. So he steps about halfway into the room, and again he says, "Honey, can you hear me?" And again, no response. Well, this time he walks up right next to her, and in a very loud voice, he says, "Honey, can you hear me now?" And very agitatedly, she responds, "Yes, for the third time, I can hear you." You see, sometimes that's the way we perceive this whole thing, that it's not us who has problems hearing the Word of God, it's someone else. And I've learned a long time ago, never preach a sermon for one person, because inevitably they're not going to be there. And if they are there, whenever you preach it, they're going to say, "Good job, Pastor, you really told them." The Word of God is for us, and we need to be quick to hear what God has to say. The second injunction, the essential quality that is needed when facing a trial, is to be slow to speak. Now, the context here may refer to complaining, things said as a result of an outburst of anger, or perhaps even accusatory allegations that are directed against God. That is, sometimes when we find ourselves in a trial or a temptation, sometimes we do inadvertently lash out at God and seem to blame Him for our problems. So this is the context of being slow to speak. Now, the point that James is making is that we often tend to be guilty of too much speaking and not enough listening. Sometimes we are too busy talking that we forget about listening. We talk too much and do not listen. Now, often during these types of circumstances, we communicate the first thing that comes to mind, which often is the worst thing that we can do. If you say the first thing that comes to your mind, 9 times out of 10, it is not going to be conducive to fix the problem or to heal a relationship, but rather it is like continued ammunition to make things worse. We are to be slow to speak. Now, one who is swift to hear, that is the counsel from God's Word, and one who is slow to speak, that is from the perspective of not giving in to fleshly outbursts of anger, is generally one who demonstrates the qualities of self-control and a teachable spirit. This is one of the reasons why in some of the classes that I've had over the years, they say never try to counsel someone who is drunk, because you can't do it. They will say or promise everything. In that type of situation, they are not manifesting the tendency of having a teachable spirit. A person has to have a clear mind to have a teachable spirit. So the one who can be so is one who is quick to hear what God's Word has to say, and one who closes their mouth and is ready to listen instead of asserting everything about themselves. Now, those who are quick to speak are often very selflessly concerned with their own point of view. They are marked by a mentality that they want to be heard. You ever heard of arguments where someone starts out and says something and then another one says something a little bit louder and someone says something even louder? The point is that they don't really care what you're saying. They want you to hear them. They're not concerned about being other-oriented. And by the way, let me say, this is one of the hardest things about communication, and that is listening. Because listening, by necessity, is being other-focused. It means that you are taking the time to stop and to seriously analyze and receive what is being said to you. You're trying to understand very clearly what they're saying. But a problem that many of us have is that we're not really interested in what the other person says, because by default we know they're wrong and we're right. We don't want to hear because we've already got our minds made up. But yet James tells us to be slow to speak. One who is slow to speak often reveals a desire to communicate words of true wisdom with all of its edifying, comforting, and confronting effects, if necessary. Now again, the context that we noted may be complaining. It may be an outburst of anger or even accusatory allegations against God. In all of these specific settings, whenever we find ourselves facing trials or temptations, the injunction is be slow to speak. Before you say anything, you need to step back and you need to look at the situation. Get all the facts that you possibly can, because things are not always as they appear to be. Reminded of a story of an older lady who had come down with a very serious disease and was in the hospital for some length of time. And in that, she began to complain to God and perhaps even accuse Him of certain things, because she had always been found faithful. Whenever the doors of the church were open, she was always there. Whenever food was needed, she would always participate and cook. She was a genuine member someone that was a significant part of the functioning body of Christ, and now she was on her back and couldn't do anything. And Lord, why am I here? It wasn't long after that that another lady came in and shared the room with her who was not a believer and who was dying. And in that, those conversations, this particular woman who was a Christian had the opportunity to witness to this lady. And this lady became a believer. She was converted. She experienced salvation, the joy of Jesus Christ as her Lord and as her Savior. You see, the point was is that God had a purpose for her being there. And that purpose was to testify of Jesus Christ. So whenever we face a trial or a temptation, whatever it may be, stop and think before you speak. Because you don't know why you are experiencing that or how God is going to use that to further His kingdom and to strengthen you. But if we lash out in anger, if we gripe and complain, then we will just quite literally destroy the opportunity that God has for us to grow and to bear witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, thirdly, another great quality that is needed when facing trials is to be slow to wrath, slow to anger. Now, the context here appears to be either a continued frame of mind with perhaps the idea of taking revenge or the taking of matters into one's own hands. And I say that because of the particular Greek word that is used here. There are several different terms that are translated as anger or wrath in the Scriptures. But this one suggests that the context may be a continued frame of mind that is bent towards taking revenge or taking matters into one's own hands. Now, I don't know about you, but quite often, whenever we face a trial or a temptation, being slow to speak and being quick to hear is sometimes very difficult. And so if we put those two things aside, what often comes in its place is the mentality, okay, Lord, you're not working as fast as I would like for you to work, so guess what? I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I'm sure that you've done it. I've done it. We've all done it. But the thing is that whenever we try to bypass what God is doing and take matters into our own hands, we just simply make the thing bigger as far as the mess is concerned. And we lose that golden opportunity to learn as a result of facing these trials and temptations. But another thing that we may do is take revenge. Now, I know nobody in here has ever tried to take revenge, have you? Of course, we do that quite often. We kind of one-up somebody. If they do that to me, well, guess what? We're going to do it back more to you. And so in this, the injunction is be slow to wrath. But quite often, that's one of the first things that comes out. If we say the wrong thing, it's usually as a result of getting very angry about something. But the point is that I want you to understand is that anger, and if you notice what James says in verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, nothing, and underscore the term nothing, good ever comes as a result of unrighteous anger. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing good comes as a result of unrighteous anger. Because in unrighteous anger, we lose the proper perspective of things. We lose the ability to recognize things for what they are or as they are. And when anger begins to dominate our thinking, our actions, our words, our responses, we find ourselves being driven not by the truth of God's Word, not by the Spirit of God, but rather by our emotions, which can be extremely dangerous. Because what may feel to be right in those moments of anger and outburst and the things that we say can be absolutely contradictory to the teachings of Scripture. Now, all of this culminates again with James saying that the anger or the wrath of man does not work or produce the righteousness of God. It hinders an expression of that which is truly righteous or that which God declares to be right. Now in this, we find a tremendous formula that God has given through James so that you and I can weather through the various trials and the various temptations that we face. Again, notice what James says. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift or quick to hear. Hear what God has to say. Be slow to speak. Don't say the first thing that comes out of your mouth. Whatever you say, make sure it's based upon the teachings of Scripture. And be slow to wrath. Don't lose the ability to see things as they are. Anger has a way of distorting everything. Now, the thing that I want you to note here is that these are qualities that only can be produced by God in the lives of His people. In other words, just the opposite of these are what comes naturally. But rather, these qualities can only come supernaturally by the Spirit of God, as the Spirit is working in the life of His people. In other words, by yourself, you cannot be quick to hear. By yourself, you cannot be slow to speak. By yourself, in or of your own strength, you cannot be slow to wrath. We have to have the power of God pulsating within us to do these things. So first of all, if you are an unbeliever, you cannot do these things. Now, you might be able to perform a certain level of these outwardly, but it doesn't come from a heart that's been changed by the grace of God. Because if you look at these qualities, these are qualities that Jesus exhibited in His life. I wonder how much things would be better if we could just a tiny bit introduce these qualities into our life. Much more if we really live by them in the depth that we should, how revolutionized our lives would be. We would find ourselves no longer getting upset over things that don't really matter. We would learn to use our words to bring a witness to Christ instead of perhaps cursing Christ or cursing God by our language. And perhaps we could edify without lashing out in anger. If we could do these things, how would it revolutionize the body of Christ today?
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's Holy Word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at the same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word, and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.